Hello and welcome to the Yoga and Yum podcast. My name is Sybil. I'm your host and I'm really happy that you're here. This is the place where we practice mindfulness, self-care, living on purpose so that we can experience the yum in life. So welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. I am a certified and registered yoga teacher and a certified health and wellness coach. And yeah, that's about me. Welcome. So today it's going to be a little bit of a rant episode. I say rant because I'm going through some stuff. So let me start at the beginning here. So my daughter, my oldest daughter, is getting married in 2 months. So as I record this episode, it'll be less than 2 months. And I am sort of acting not only as mom, but also as the wedding planner. So we gave our daughter a budget as to how much money we would be giving her for this affair. It's quite significant. And I said, hey, what you might want to do is budget for a wedding planner. But those can be a little expensive. And so she says, no, we'll just do it. Which really meant that I was going to do it. So that's kind of what's happening. And I realized something super important. Again, the self-study, being honest. I'm not sure if you can hear that people are outside mowing their lawns. Like, it's 5 o'clock in the evening and we live in a condo. So the lawn mowing people usually don't come this late. They usually come earlier in the day, but I don't know, something must have been off and they are mowing at 5 o'clock. So I hope you can't hear that. If you can, I apologize. Okay, now where was I? What I realized is I don't ever want to be a wedding planner ever again. Ever. I am the kind of person that does enjoy small event planning, like planning things like one-day retreats. I love that. Planning for dinner parties and excursions that include friends. I love that. So I thought I would really love being a wedding planner, kind of acting as one for my daughter. And what I realize is I don't like it at all. I would rather go back into the classroom and teach tons of two-year-olds than do this ever again. It is stressful. And I think the reason it's so stressful is because there's so much on the line, right? This is the memory-making day. You know, we make such a huge deal out of weddings, right? The pictures, the cake, the dress, the everything, the fanfare. And this is a fairly large event. And let me back up and tell you, my daughter's having three celebrations. One which has nothing to do with me. Well, I'll be there. So she's marrying a person whose family is from Somalia. And she's having a traditional, like, Somalian wedding, which his family is taking care of that because I know nothing about that. Then the first big event, which I am orchestrating, is they're going to have a fairly large reception because the wedding is going to be very small, very private, which is going to mostly be his family, and they'll be her immediate family. So me, her siblings, her dad. There really won't be any other family members on our side there. they're going to be at this bigger event, which is this huge, elaborate, beautiful reception, which I am in charge of planning. And I will tell you, it's driving me slightly crazy. There's so many spinning plates. The next big event that she had, because she wanted something that represented her tradition, and she decided to have a destination wedding. So she's having a destination wedding in Mexico in September, which most of that planning is taking place by the people at the resort. I don't have to really do that, but it's just more arranging and organizing for the people that are going to be going to that wedding. It'll be a small wedding, but still trying to organize like 20 people to get them into rooms, get them settled, to keeping track of flights and people trying to say, but I don't want to stay at this resort. I want to stay at this resort because it's cheaper. And can I buy a day pass? And then my daughter having a fit going, well, you're not in the wedding if you don't do this. All brides, I believe, when they're having huge events or multiple events like my daughter is having, I think at some point may become a little bridezilla-ish. So I'm not blaming her, but I am dealing with a little bit of bridezilla-ish, which is not fun for me because I'm mom. And usually, you know, she acts up for me. And that happens because she feels safe enough to do so. When I say acts up, she's not like disrespectful, but you know, if she's gonna let it go, it usually comes at me. So it's been crazy. And people keep saying, oh, just relax, enjoy the day. And literally, I'm thinking to myself, I just want it to be over. I just want the day to come so I can check it off a list, which I know is not the best attitude to have, but I'm just being honest. That's where I am today. Today, less than 2 months before the big reception. So what am I doing to make sure I don't lose it, that I am not losing sleep and worrying constantly? Is the cake ordered the way it's supposed to be? Where are we on the wedding dress alterations? Where are we with this? Where are we with the food? Where? There's too many spinning plates. How am I staying centered? I should also add that my daughter has a job. She is a veterinary nurse, but she works the evening shift. So when these businesses are open to talk to and consult with and check on, she's asleep because she has to work all night. So she needs someone to do that. So I'm going back to that question. What am I doing, you might wonder, to not spin out of control, to not worry myself into a tizzy, to not have my hair fall out in patches, to just be okay? Because this is hard. It's just a lot. It's a lot. Big events, a lot. And what I am doing to stay grounded is I am leaning in to my practice. I'm leaning into my yoga practice. The thing about a yoga practice, and if you don't like the word yoga, call it something else. Although I'm assuming that if you're listening to a podcast called Yoga and Yum, you are not upset with the term. There's a lot of people lately that I'm seeing all these posts that yoga is demonic and meditation is demonic, and I'm like, what? Oh, stop it. I'm not even going to address it. I thought about addressing it here on the podcast, and I'm like, no, I'm not even going to do it because clearly they don't know what you're talking about, and I'm not getting into this discourse. Yeah, I'm not worshiping any demons. I am a person that believes in God. I am a person that believes in Christ. My faith is stronger than it's ever been. And I lean into yoga because I believe that that was a direction that God sent me in, because it's what I needed to feel okay. And I did a podcast on that that really talked about how I came to yoga. And I've done another one that kind of talks a little bit about it. It's called Prayer Versus Meditation. So check out those podcasts if you want to learn more about my background there. But yeah, if you don't like the word yoga, say something else. Say a self-care practice or whatever. And what I mean by leaning into these things and making them a part of your daily is when we think of things like self-care, and even I think when people think of their yoga practice, they think about it in a very limited way. They're thinking about it as, oh, going to yoga class. They're thinking about it as, oh, going to a pranayama or a meditation class or doing something online that leads you through all the time, as opposed to adopting it as part of your thing. That if you can't make it to class, does that mean you don't have yoga that day? Does that mean that, and is it only limited to a time frame? And you make that crossover into this becoming part of who you are when you don't depend on someone else to give that to you, to give the instruction to you, to give the guidance to you, because now it's part of you. So I'm leaning into my yoga practice and really leaning into my anti-anxiety toolbox tools. So I did a whole series called My Anti-Anxiety Toolbox, which a lot of it has to do with yoga and meditation, but there's some mindset things in there too. And I'm leaning in there. I'm getting into my body. I am focusing on spending a little bit of time with my breath, a little bit of time emptying out my mind. I'm spending some time where I have designated it as my quote unquote worry time. If you want to know what that is, check out those episodes where I talk about how I used worry time. And I got this technique from a licensed therapist. I'm leaning into those things. If you listened at all to my beginning chakra series, I'm leaning into chakra one. I don't even care about the rest of them right now. I'm leaning into chakra one. Why? Because that is where, that's our survival, like our basic needs. And I'm asking myself, are my basic needs met? Did I hydrate today? Did I drink enough water? Did I remember to eat food today? Am I getting enough sleep? So I'm leaning in to chakra one stuff. I'm leaning into grounding because I feel ungrounded. Again, using that worry time technique. Go check it out. I wish I could say I created it myself. I didn't. Go check that episode out in my anti-anxiety toolbox episodes. Check that one out. It is powerful and I still use it when I need to. So that I am taking all the worries that I have about this thing. Like, oh, what could go wrong? And every time you turn around, there's like a hidden expense you didn't know about. And my husband is the best husband on the planet. But I will tell you, the thing that literally makes me want to crawl out of my skin is dealing with him. And I hardly ever have to quote unquote deal with him. But when it comes to money, oh my gosh, I have to literally brace myself because he hits the roof. Let me say this. We are not hurting financially. Thank heaven. We are blessed. We are in a great position. We have the funds. It's not going to drain us, these extra fees. But my husband has a thing about money. And there's no one else. It's just he and I here. We don't have kids living with us. So I catch the brunt of all that. I catch the brunt of stuff from my daughter. I catch the brunt from the caterers. Like, I get that. And so I need to lean into being grounded and feeling like my basic needs are met. The last couple of episodes that I did on, I think I did them with the Health Coaching Wednesday episodes when I was talking about doing this self-study that I'm really into now. Not so much self-improvement, but self-study to guide me for my next steps. Is I use this chakra system to deal with stuff that's happening with me right now. People say, well, Sybil, you've been practicing yoga since 1997. You mean you're still messing around with chakra one? Uh-huh, yeah. In fact, I am. Absolutely. It's not like the job is done. The job's not done. It's really adding it to your toolbox so that you know where to lean in when you need the tools. These tools, this practice helps me to keep my sanity, helps me to stay as clear-headed as I possibly can, and helps me from really wanting to go off on people. Because that's my go-to. My go-to is to rip your head off. But to keep me in check, to keep me grounded, to keep me sane, to keep me in a place where I can be if my kid needs me. And really, I just wanted to emphasize in this episode the importance of developing a self-care practice. And for me, that is a yoga practice. It is a mindfulness practice. It might look differently for you, or you may call it something different, but to really develop that so that you know when and how deeply to lean into the things. You don't have to relearn anything. You don't have to read up necessarily on anything. You lean into what is already in you. You become more adept at using the tools. And the tools then become more nuanced. They become more, I can't put my finger on it, but you just become more able, if you will, to efficiently use them to better yourself or to sustain yourself or to ground yourself. And I cannot stress that enough. Don't think about self-care as something that you do that's frivolous. I think especially in our society, and I live in the United States of America, we think about self-care as something frivolous, as something that's expensive, as something that's not necessary, as something, oh, it means you go to the spa or you get your nails done. I mean, it can be that, but it can be something way simpler and way cheaper than that. And it doesn't have to be on a special occasion or only when you feel down or only when you feel sad. It's not frivolous. It's not something that has to be sort of sanctioned for an occasion. I think it's super necessary for it to be part of what we do to stay well. We do things every day to stay well, whatever that means for you. This sort of self-care and self-study and digging deep into what keeps your mind and your emotions and your energy well is not frivolous. It's necessary. And when you develop this practice, whatever that looks like for you, it becomes yours. Now, you can always extend it. You can add new things because, yes, we learn things all the time. I'm not trying to say that don't stop learning. I'm not saying that. Or, yeah, that's right. Don't stop learning. Or, yeah, that's what I meant to say. I feel like, do I want to say don't stop learning? I do want to say that. So yeah, keep that, keep learning, keep refining, but have that basis, this thing that you fall back on or lean into and nurture that so that it's ready. That foundation is there. And when you need to lean into it, it can support you because you took the time to lay the foundation. And that's really, I don't know, I guess that's my message for this time. And I was just letting you know a little bit what's going on with me. I know that these ceremonies, multiple ceremonies, are going to be beautiful and stunning. And my daughter's going to be a vision and everything's going to come together and it's going to be gorgeous. I know that. I absolutely know that. Just getting there is it's a little rough. And I'm just having a time because I'm human and I get to have a time and I get to talk about it. And I get to talk about what I'm doing to take care of myself. And I'm sharing that. Yep, it may seem like people just have it all together all the time and you listen to the podcast and it seems like, oh, you know, it seems like she has all the answers. I don't know if you think that or not. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything and I don't want to know everything. But I do believe in developing a practice. And if you are a person that is looking for guidance on how to develop your own practice. Not only am I a yoga teacher, I'm also a yoga teacher with specialties in yoga therapy, but I'm also a health and wellness coach. We can add all those things together. If you feel like you need some guidance, like how can I construct something that's just for me? If you're thinking that, then please reach out. I am accepting a couple more health coaching one-on-one clients. And I would love to chat with you to talk about what that could look like for you and the things that I offer. So if you are interested, you can email me at Sybil, that's Sybil, at asyouareyoga.com. And in the subject line, put change over, like we're changing over into a better place. And I will get back with you. Maybe we can set up a time to chat and see if this is a good fit and see if I can be of any assistance. I would love to do that. Also, follow me on Instagram at Yoga and Yum with Sybil. I post there often. And I have fun over there. So check that out. And lastly, if you feel so moved, please consider giving this episode, this podcast, a rating. Leave a review. That would be splendid. I would more than appreciate that. And even better, please share this episode and this podcast with someone who might find inspiration in it. All right. Until next time, my friends, here's wishing you a beautiful day or night, and here's wishing you all the yum in life. Peace. Bye.